Heavenly Father, as we gather here this morning, Lord, on your blessed, holy Sabbath day, a day, Lord, there was a time in my life whenever I spoke against that. And here I am today, Lord. You have changed my life. You've changed Jamie's life, and everyone in this room, Lord, to know, Father, that you are our creator and that, Father, we need to be here. Lord, a lot of conflict about your Sabbath day, Lord, but, Father, your truth tells it that it is today and explains it. Heavenly Father, as this message that you have given me today, Lord, are we really under your protection? Are we living under your protection? Heavenly Father, I pray that your words are brought to me and you speak, Father, through me, Lord, that you are glorified above all things, Lord, and that I am just a messenger here today. Father, we pray and thank you and praise you so much for everything. In your holy name we ask, Jesus. Amen. Oh. Got your message, Jeff. Before I start, for those of you who don't know maybe, but Lloyd Jewell passed away last week. And I don't believe there's going to be a celebration of life. And go ahead. Oh, there you are, Carol. I didn't see you.
We will be having a memorial. We have a lot of people who live in many places.
Uh-huh.
So we're just trying to kind of figure out what we'll do a bit of time.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. I apologize. I had my mind on this and that. But what a wonderful man. What a God-loving man and wife, Carol.
Amen.
Their children, we need to pray for all of them. You know, the Ryan and Carol and Tanya, keep them in your prayers. We were there, Jamie and I, that day when Lloyd passed on. And I can't say enough about Lloyd and Carol. How when we first came into this church, how they took us and wrapped their arms around us. I wanted to be here because I knew and understood finally in my life about God's Bible truth. But Jamie didn't want to be here. But she's here now. She actually had to leave and go home sick today. She just wasn't feeling good. But say a quick prayer for her too. If you think about it, hopefully it's just something really simple. I'm sure it is. But keep the Jewel family in prayer. Lloyd meant a lot to me. And okay, let's get past Lloyd before he just really did. So to get started, the early Native Americans in our country had a unique way that they used to train young braves. Now, yeah, everybody thinks about how they were taught to hunt and fish and track and do everything else that they would have to do to live off the land. We know that. But yet there was one more thing that a final test that they were given on the night of their 13th birthday. They were taken into the forest, into the dark woods, and they were blindfolded. They had no idea where they would be at in there. But it was the first time that they would ever be away at night without being with their parents or the rest of the tribe from the protection of them. Life was tough back then, and you had to be very watchful in how you done things. But when they got them, they would take them several miles into the forest, blindfolded, as I said. And then when they when the elders got far enough in, they would leave them there. And as the young brave would take his blindfold off, he would look around and it was pitch black. Who here has been in the forest at nighttime? Does it give you a little bit of things to talk about, to think about? Well, this young man, 13 years old, was there by himself. And every little snap of a twig or a rustle of a leaf or whatever sound it might be, maybe a growl of a bobcat or whatever it may be, he was very fearful. And it was probably the longest night of his life. It seemed like an eternity to him. But then finally, as the sun started rising, little rays of sunlight would start poking in. And he could start to see where he was at. He'd seen the flowers and the small trees and just heard the chirping of the birds and everything else. But to his astonishment, as the sun rays came through, he saw the figure of a man standing but a few feet away, armed with a bow and arrow. It was his father. He had been there all night long. As you can see, are we living under God's protection? That story reminded me to the T of our Father in heaven. Do you think he ever leaves us? No, he promises he won't. Bear with me here. You know, we get up every morning. So far, we've gotten up every morning. And as we're preparing ourselves, maybe we're just walking into the kitchen like this, stumbling around or whatever, barely able to slide out of bed and say, oh, another day. Or maybe we go in and you look at yourself in your mirror and you say, what a mess. Your hair's everywhere. If you have hair, right, Randy? I'm running short on hair, so are you. And I'm not going to mention any other names. I see people laughing. Never in my life did I think I would be short on hair. But it happens. And it has happened. But anyway, but do we give it a thought that once we get prepared and leave the house, are we maybe going to be in a bad car accident? Are we going to, whatever it may be, but the number one thing that I hope we've had prayer and fellowship with our Father in heaven that morning. Amen. Nothing is a guarantee, right? Are we living under God's protection? I think it's something we all need to really start thinking about in our lives, that are we doing it right? 2 weeks ago, Pastor Jeremy gave a message that says, why me? Why me? In Sabbath school this morning, we talked about God's protection. It's ironic. We talked about God's protection, and that's what the message is about. Talked about Job, how Satan accusing that he put a hedge around him. You know, when we are faithful to God, we have that hedge. And even when we were early in our walk or maybe in rebellion to God, we had a protective hedge put around, that God put around, under his wings and protected us. We're going to see a scripture here shortly that explains why. Why do things happen, okay? Last week, again, in Elder Dennis's message was about God's protection. And when I heard these two messages in a row, basically, that touched on it, I'm like, they're going to get round number three for sure here. But it was too late in the game to change it up. Where would we be without God's protection? As a matter of fact, we wouldn't be. We wouldn't be. Today we're going to discuss several stories that are in the Bible, okay? And we're also going to hear a personal story from Cheryl here today. At the time, I'll call you up, Cheryl. She told me this story a few weeks ago. We were in the gym after church just talking and chit-chatting, and the story just amazed me. And I had already had started on my message, and I had made my choice, and I asked her if she would come up and speak. But I'll let you know here, okay? Here's the reason. Here's the reason that why me, Lord? Why do we have to have God's protection? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Do you ever feel like you're the one that's been picked out and picked on, and life is not, that you're the only one having trouble? No, but one thing I can say is that the closer that we get to Jesus Christ, the more we are protected, but Satan turns up the heat. Life is more dangerous as we pursue that personal relationship with God. In our life, probably wouldn't be here right now had we not had a problem in our life, the 93 flood. And it didn't happen right away, but it was after the fact that we realized what God had done for us. How he had made it possible for us to get out of there, to keep our home, to sell our home, and to start a new life over, basically, because everything we had was gone. Everything we had, it floated down the river. It was such a huge flood. And Elaine, I know you guys are familiar with floods. Not a pretty thing, is it? Not a pretty thing at all. It's not a rampaging river, but it's dirty, nasty, and it destroys everything. But God was there. We were under God's protection and never even realized it. Because you see, we never had God in our life at that time. Raised in a church, knowing about Jesus, but had fallen away, left, God was not in our life. But he was setting us up for something a little bit later in life, and all we had to do was accept him. Another time I was at Lake of the Ozarks. It was a rainy morning, and I was going to pick up a bulldozer. I don't remember how big it was or whatever. And there was a line of traffic, and I was the tailing vehicle, I believe. And all of a sudden, somebody stopped up there, and the road was wet, and I hit the brakes, and I was just sliding. And I was not going that fast. It was on Old Highway 5. Those of you who are familiar with Lake of the Ozarks, and I couldn't get stopped. And I am telling you as I'm standing here, something steered that truck immediately to the right. Down in, thank God, a wide ditch in front of a row of houses. I was empty still. I was on my way. Went down past all them cars, and I do not know to this day how that happened, and back out on the highway and never touched anybody. Are we living under God's protection? That could have been bad. Someone could have lost their life. I could have destroyed the vehicle. But the Lord was with me. The Lord was with me. We're going to move on here. The Bible says in Psalms 34, 6 and 7, this poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers him, them. Now, there's one thing that I forgot to say earlier when I was talking. When we are faithful to God, he is faithful to us. And really, he is faithful to us when we aren't faithful to him. Praise God, the God of heaven, for his kindness and mercy. Because in all that time, in I can only speak for us. In all that time, had God not been merciful in keeping us protected before we accepted him, we could have been snuffed out by the evil one and cost us our salvation, our chance to be in heaven someday when Jesus returns. That's how important it is to get a relationship with Jesus Christ every morning, throughout the day, and that night, pray and thank him and read about him. Spend time in his word. And when we become and start following him, at least as close as we think is right, our lives change. Our lives change. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. Is he sending somebody else? No. He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Matthew 28 in the Great Commission, Jesus promises us that I will always be with you. And I can say this much, when I had to go to my boss and tell him I could no longer work on Sabbath from Friday evening to Saturday sundown, as I was driving home, I realized how the Lord was right there with me. Amen. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. Fear nothing, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Proverbs 3, 25 and 26. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. Amen. Is our trust getting stronger in Jesus Christ? I hope so. Goes on. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilences. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth. Where is his truth? In the Bible, in his word. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. We will be standing in front of courts and judges sometime in our life. As the world is crumbling and we have to stand up for God, that his truth shall be our shield and buckler. And that is all we will have to stand on. But he will give us the words to say. You should not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. We see a lot of bad things happen, and we feel terrible for it, for anyone involved. But has God taken fear out of your life in a lot of ways, knowing that you have him? Amen. I hope so. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand. But it shall not come near you. We have to believe and have faith in what the Lord says. He makes those promises to us. Cheryl, would you like to come up and give your testimony? Let me get a microphone for you. And you can just stay down here. How's that?
Good morning. Now, some of you that used to maybe go over to the older church on Thiele might remember this story, because I've told it a couple of times for children's story. But this really happened to me. I was 14 years old, and our family was on vacation. We had gone to the Grand Canyon, and Mom and I wanted to get up at sunrise to go see the sunrise over the canyon, because we had read, at that time they didn't have computers, we'd read that it was really a glorious sight, and it was. But my brother and my dad, they weren't interested at all in getting up before dawn to go out and look at the sunrise over the canyon. So it was just Mom and I. And we were walking along, and we saw an outcropping, and it was a large, stone. It was a large boulder, about half the size of this podium. So it was no small thing. We had no sense of danger, nothing. We were just enjoying the morning. It was kind of crisp out, coolish, but we knew it was going to get hot later on. We each had a sweater with us, and we just decided to climb up on that boulder and watch the sunrise over the canyon. Now, for those of you who have been there, you know how big this thing is and how deep it is. And for those of you who haven't been out there, you've surely seen pictures of it. So it's no small thing. They call it the Grand Canyon for a reason. And as we were watching the sun come up and all the various colors and everything like that, just admiring God's beauty, the smell of the air, the birds starting to sing their first song of the day, it was just beautiful. And I don't remember what we were talking about, but we were just sitting there talking, you know, in the morning air and just enjoying ourselves. And about the same time, both of us just had the urge to get up and go further down the canyon. So we did. We got up and we took a walk down the canyon and, you know, along the pathway. And, we were getting different views of the canyon and just admiring just the general beauty and peace of the place. And as we started to come back from our walk, we noticed a large crowd. And they were organizing a search party, because that boulder we had been sitting on fell down the canyon. That would have been no small thing. You know, Satan is our enemy.
Yes.
He really is. And he'll destroy us in the most horrific way that he can if it wasn't for the hand of the Lord. He protects us at all times, even when we have no sense of danger, which we didn't. We just, just felt at perfect peace. Everything was great. We didn't know, that our angels were fighting against the angels of Satan. And I, in my mind's eye, I think about them having their hand against that boulder, holding it in place, while Satan's angels are up there jumping on it. That was my mental picture of it. But I just think, so they were organizing a search party for the two women that had been on the boulder. And we said, no, we're here. We're here. Everything's all right. We're here. And they were trying to figure out, exactly when we might have gone down into the canyon and everything. They even had the mules, because they don't use horses on those trails to go down. They use mules and donkeys, because they're more sure-footed. They're more sturdy, and they're able to transverse those places. So I think many times, when I'm tempted, and Satan does tempt us, to feel afraid, unsure, that God's hand is always with us.
Amen.
His angels surround us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. Even when we don't realize that we need protection, he is there always, always. And he promises to save us to the uttermost. What a precious promise that is. So amen. Think about, you know, things in your life, and I'm sure we all have them, where we know that but for the hand of the Lord, we would have been utterly destroyed.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you very much. I've been to the Grand Canyon. You don't want to fall in that hole. In fact, in the last couple years, they've had multiple people, and I don't know how, but were there watching, whatever it may have been, that went off the side and lost their life. But it is scary. I never cared too much to get too close to it. You know, I was looking at it, you know, and I seen enough. But I know one thing, with our Father in heaven and being the creator of the universe, the Colorado River never formed the Grand Canyon.
Amen.
I truly believe that when you get out there and get to looking around out west, and we talk about the flood, the Bible talks about the flood and how the water burst forth from the ground. I truly believe that the Grand Canyon was formed in that way.
Amen.
We serve a mighty God. He is our creator and the creator of everything. Turn to your Bibles and in Daniel chapter 6, okay? I won't keep you too much longer. I know you got a lot planned out today, whatever it might be. Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian Empire, had just fallen. Nebuchadnezzar's grandson had the writing on the wall. The Medes and Persians had just defeated them. Quite a story. I need to reread it myself. But we're trying to study everything, but we just need refresher courses. But Daniel and his fellow teammates, we'll call them, had been in captivity now for some time. And it was the Medes and Persians and King Darius who had come on the scene here. And when he took over, there were different men. He changed the government that the Babylonians had set up. And as ever government does, when we get a new president, people are ousted and new ones are put in place. Well, there were 120 satraps that were put in place, and three governors that were appointed to watch over them. And Daniel happened to be one of them. But there were people in that regime that had problems with Daniel. And in verse 3 of chapter 6, the Bible tells us, "Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought, he gave thought to setting him over the whole realm." Do you see how the jealousy started? What was Daniel's life? Who was Daniel in partnership with that changed him to be that way? The God of heaven, absolutely. The true God. Thank you, Dennis. The true God. Then we go, and as they are building a case against him, they are trying to trap him and make him look bad because they did not want him, because they were not of the caliber men that Daniel was. So in verse 6, so these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said thus to him, "King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and satraps, the counselors, the advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except for you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish this decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. It cannot be changed. Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. I'm not going to go deep in this at all, but God's law has been changed. His fourth commandment has been changed. It's just now struck out to me. Someday we will be facing the same things that Daniel did. Daniel in the lion's den. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since these early days. He didn't try to scheme anything up himself. And he was very bold about kneeling to where he would be seen. But he trusted in the God of heaven, our God who is in heaven. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. His God. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. And they said to him, "Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days, except for you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "This thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter." He's getting ready to get nervous. So they answered and said before the king, That Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard to you, O king, for your decree that you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day. You see, they did not honor the true God. They had their own gods. And the Bible goes on to say, so the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. And we all know this story, but let's go through it. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, "Your God," because Darius trusted Daniel. He loved Daniel. He knew the man that he was. "Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you." Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signets of his lords, and that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. He could not change it because it was law, but it was killing him because he knew what he had done. Now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him. Also his sleep went from him. And then the king rose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. Have you ever had a problem in your life where it is just gnawing on you, that your stomach hurts, that you just can't think of anything else? This was the condition of King Darius that day, that evening. He had been duped and lied to. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Daniel answers. Then Daniel said to the king, and he always done this, respected the king, "O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, so they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you." Amen. And the Bible goes on to tell in the story that those who had lied and set Daniel up for this, them and their families were cast into the lion's den. And before they even touched the ground, the lions leaped up and had broken their bones and killed them all immediately. That was the reward that Satan gave to them. That's why we have to make a choice in our lives. Who are we going to serve? We serve a faithful God who protects us every day. We live in a dying, hateful world right now. And it's not going to change and get any better anytime soon. Turn to your Bibles to 2 Kings, and we're going to close with this one. We'll be finished up here in just a second. 2 Kings chapter 6. If you want to open your Bibles to that, you can. I didn't put it all up there. But I told Mitch the other day, I'm one of those guys, this is one of my favorite stories. I got so many favorite stories in God's Word that I sound like a recorder. 2 Kings chapter 6. The blinded Syrians captured. Now, the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servants, saying, my camp will be in a certain such and such place. And the man of God, talking about Elisha, sent to the king of Israel, saying, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there. So God was protecting them. Then the king of Israel sent someone to, which the man had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not once or twice. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? Was there a spy? That's what he was looking for. But they go on and they're talking about Elisha. And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. Who was giving Elisha those words? The God of heaven, absolutely. So the king said, go and see where he is, that I may send and get him. And it was told him, saying, surely he is in Dothan. This is one of my favorite stories, because we are living in the times in our lives that we better realize our God and how he takes care of us. Therefore, he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and they surrounded the city. Now, there's multiple stories in the Bible similar to this, that where God has shown that I will destroy them and take care of you. But in this particular case, in verse 15, and when the servant of the man of God, Elisha's servant, arose early and went out there, all he saw was this vast army of soldiers and horses and chariots, men with weapons, and he was afraid. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? So Elisha answered, and he said, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than who are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. I take that scripture very seriously. I realize the God that I serve, that we serve, will always be with us. Yes, it's true, and I've said it. There was a time of rebellion in my life, but God has proved himself to me and Jamie over and over and over again that he is a God who listens when we pray. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, strike this people, I pray, with blindness. And he struck them with the blindness according to the word of Elisha. Never fear that God will leave our side. Again, we are living in a dying world. We are living in a time when things are going to happen that we have the only one person to trust, and that is our God. And we need to get that as a very tight personal relationship with Jesus Christ as quickly as we can. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we love you so much. Be with us now as we're ready to leave this place, Lord. We praise you so much and thank you for being our God and protector. Lord, unfortunately, tomorrow, this evening, we have to go back out into the world, Lord. But keep us safe, we ask you, and we know that you will. We pray that your angels are with each and every one of us, with our children, Lord, our families, our fellow members of your church, Lord. Father, seek out those who are wanting to learn about you, Father. May the truth come to them, Father, very quickly, Lord. We know you're coming soon. And Father, we just ask you all these things in your Son Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen.